The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
We're back, folks. Back here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studios. Our partner, our buddy, our pal, the one who joins us in a corner of the stadium in Maine, where we do the Key Bank countdown to kickoff inside the Go the Bad Blue Victor's Lounge, is none other than Steve the Roulette King Clark. How you doing this morning, Steve?
Sam, I'm doing fantastic. Glad to be on again. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Glad you could join us as always. It's always a ton of fun. And you know, Steve, I didn't tell you this as we were sitting down up at Soaring Eagle Casino. You know, I hadn't done the roulette thing before. So, you know, I got an education. Got an education while we were up there.
Well, I got a bigger education when I was up there. I have learned that it does not matter how smart you think you are or how well the odds are in favor of you. It doesn't necessarily turn out that way. Sam, I was witnessing incredible history in terms of the odds. I mean, I had things all set up in my favor, and I literally went home after I looked some things up on Google, and I found out that my method that I thought I discovered is an actually well-known method.
Okay.
But not only that, the way the numbers were hitting in the roulette wheel, I think we were looking at 343-1 odds on a couple, and another one at 800 and some odds to one, and I was witnessing it. You know, how many times does it take for black, you know, to hit 13 times in a row without hitting red? What are the odds of that? What are the odds of you betting on getting 67% odds on at least becoming a 1-to-1 winner only to watch the 1/3 show up 9 consecutive times? You know, as I said, I started doing, you know, let's see, 3 squared.
Yeah,
three
I ran into Mike. I ran into Mike Martin. You know, Mike was checking on you. Say, man, how's Steve? He said he had a feeling of like this confounded look on his face when he was at the roulette wheel. How's Steve? I said, oh, Steve's cool. He has a system. He didn't know you had a system. I told him you had a system.
Yeah, well, I had a system, and it was one of those things where, you know, it should work out in my favor.
Right.
Michigan Matt thought it best when he saw me around midnight. He said, Steve, I want to check in on you today because yesterday you looked like you got kicked in the...
Well, I'll tell you what, it was, as we say, you know, the atmosphere inside the Ascend was great. It was so much fun that Mike, who had, you know, he had plans for the Indiana game, he wants to come. I got to tell Michigan Matt, I'm telling Michigan Matt now, Mike Martin said he wants to come back. So it was a ton of fun. And ton of fun to hang out with you up there, Steve. But it's always a ton of fun to get with you to preview the next game. But especially this week, we were talking about the Michigan State Spartans, a Michigan State Spartan team. So, Steve, you remember I told you that Brandon Peters said, "Hey, we're going to go 8-4." Now, you know, you still have some ground to plow here. You know, going through Iowa. But, boy, I remember when he first said it, I was a little skeptical of their ability to go to East Lansing and get it done, but here they are. They did it.
Well, and I thought Michigan State would win that game, too. Sam, did you watch the Michigan State-Illinois game, or did you opt to watch college football?
Exactly. I was watching college football, man. I didn't turn to Michigan State-Illinois until, you know, the fourth quarter. Heading to the fourth quarter, I saw it was 31-10, and then I turned back to watching. I started watching college football again.
Yeah, well, I'm here to give you the incredible details about that. I don't think Ira, who, you know, spent his bye week in the state of Michigan, probably missed it as well, the improbable comeback.
Yeah, I was literally in Illinois, and I saw Illinois fans celebrating afterwards, but only reason I knew what happened is I was getting text messages because I was busy on Saturday.
Well, you know, in case no one has watched the Big Ten and 60 Illinois versus Michigan State thing, I watched it in its entirety Sunday morning, and it was just unbelievable. You know, sometimes when we see Michigan lose a football game, we look at all of the incredible, improbable things, like my thing at the roulette wheel. And if just one of those had come the opposite way, it wouldn't have happened. And Michigan State had this. So, you know, for the Sparty fans who want to relive it all over again, I'm here to tell it to you. And for those that are Sam and I who didn't see it at all, well, they just must know. So here we go. And, guys, feel free to interrupt and react. So, you know, Michigan State is up 28-3 late in the first half. A pass is dropped by an MSU receiver that was then intercepted into the end zone. If he had just caught the ball and not dropped it or not deflected it, it would have been 35-3 going into halftime. But instead, on the last play of the half, Brandon Peters in the pocket gets stripped of the ball, catches his own fumble, and then just instinctively launches it to the end zone to Josh Imatorbebe. Josh Imatorbebe for a touchdown. It's now 28-10 at halftime, and Illinois comes in with a little bit of momentum. So, again, Peters stripped of the ball, catches his own fumble before it hits the ground, and just throws it up in the air, and the big guy catches it for a touchdown, 28-10 at halftime. Now, Illinois trails 31-10 at the end of three quarters. Why? Because they forced State to a field goal after stopping the Spartans on three straight plays from inside the one-yard line. No kidding. First and goal at the one-yard line, can't get it in, has to kick a field goal. They're up 31-10 at the end of three. On the first play of the fourth quarter, Illinois gets an 83-yard touchdown from Peters to Imatorbebe after a missed tackle.
How the hell are you going to get fired on your day off?
That guy might have stopped that play.
Following possession, a Michigan State deep completion into Illinois territory is negated after offensive pass interference.
Next question.
Punts the ball. Next Illinois possession is a TD, making it now 31-24. State would then fumble the ball on the first play from the snap. Illinois has first and goal, but Peters throws an interception in the end zone, preserving Michigan State's 7-point lead.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Not to be outdone, on the next possession, Michigan State is driving, and Lewerke throws a 76-yard pick six.
What the hell are you going to do?
That we assume would tie the game, except Illinois misses the extra point. And Michigan State still has a 1-point lead, 31-30. And you think Michigan State has dodged another bullet.
Mm-hmm.
State would drive again, forcing Illinois to use two of their three remaining timeouts because the clock is running out. However, Illinois does stop Michigan State on third down, and Michigan State elects to kick a field goal, which they do make. They're now up 34-30 and forcing Illinois to score a touchdown with 3:12 left remaining in the game.
This is big time athletics.
If you think it couldn't be, you know, more dangerous for Michigan State, or how many bullets can you dodge? With the game on the line, Illinois would need to convert a 4th-and-17.
Grow up.
And did so on another deep pass to Imatorbebe for a 37-yard play, and now Illinois is inside Michigan State's red zone.
That's BS.
Illinois would have first and goal at the 1-yard line, and that would then start with a fumbled quarterback center exchange back to the 5. On 4th and goal, with the game on the line, the pass in the end zone is incomplete. The game appears to be over. The Michigan State fans are celebrating. The Michigan State faithful, the players, the coaches with their arms up in the air, turns into shouts because the late flag comes in and the refs rule pass interference on the 4th and goal.
So sick of coaching the way I got to coach and practice the way I got to practice.
By now, neither team has a timeout, and it's 1st and goal at the 2-yard line with 45 seconds left, and Illinois is dropped for a 3-yard loss back to the 5. Now Illinois has to hurry up, and the clock is ticking, and there are no timeouts. Brandon Peters rolls to his right, and with under 10 seconds left, he finds Daniel Barker into the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. Illinois has its biggest comeback in program history, trailing by 25, 28-3 late in the first half when it should have been 35-3 at halftime. They end up losing that game, and Michigan State is wondering, what do we do next?
What the hell are you going to do? I don't know.
To be able to come back from that, I actually think it's a good thing there for their sake. From their perspective, it's a good thing they're playing Michigan this week. I wouldn't give them a chance. Other than Rutgers, I would say any other team in the Big Ten, I'd be like, I think they're going to beat Michigan State this week. But, you know, going into Michigan, getting them keyed up for their Super Bowl, I actually think this is the ideal opponent for them coming off of that collapse they just experienced.
Yeah, you know, and there's things when you think about going into this game, you know, not only for them, but for Michigan State, you look at all the ways that that had to have happened for them to lose this game. And I think one of them that I didn't mention yet was that Josiah Scott got injured in the third quarter, and he did not play the rest of the game. He's expected to play against Michigan, but I like the way Josiah Scott plays defensively, man ball. I think he's great in coverage. I think if he was on the field in the fourth quarter last Saturday, I'm not convinced at all that Illinois wins this game. There was a couple of deep passes that were thrown, and I don't think that would actually, you know, probably would have been defended if Josiah Scott was on the field. Mm-hmm. And Illinois needed those big plays. And, again, that's just one element to it, but there were certainly other elements to it. I mean, Michigan State started four true freshmen. Making their first career starts. All four of them were on the offense. Two of them were on the offensive line, and two of them were receivers because Darryl Stewart, their best receiver, didn't play last week against Illinois. I don't think he's going to be available for this game against Michigan as well. So you have four true freshmen making their first starts. They got a little bit of experience. I think a couple of the offensive linemen actually did a pretty good job, and they still make it to continue to see time on the line. But Nick Samak and guard J.D. Duplain, if I'm saying his name right, were two freshmen who made their first start. D'Antonio says he thought that both of them played well and should expect them both to be able to play. So we'll see how this goes. But Brian Lewerke, I mean, he was the number one passer in the Big Ten midseason. His conference only passing efficiency rating, though, right now is just a little bit more than half of Minnesota's Tanner Morgan. Lewerke's rushing numbers are right on par with Justin Fields and Sean Clifford. I mean, he's really good with tucking the ball and running. I think this would normally be a problem with Michigan's defense. It's had a history of letting quarterbacks take off on the run, but the Wolverines held Notre Dame's Ian Book to a 9-yard run, Penn State's Sean Clifford to a single 10-yard run, and Illinois' Matt Robinson to a single 9-yard run. So I wouldn't be so sure that Brant Sale could go to that well too often. Elijah Collins, I think he's going to be a decent back in his conference. He's sixth in the Big Ten in rushing when you just look at conference games only. He had 170 yards last week against an Illinois team that was missing two of their starters at linebacker. But Elijah Collins is certainly a threat, but it's going against Michigan's run defense, which is doing pretty well themselves.
Gotcha.
As far as the injury update, I'm just talking until someone starts talking back to me.
No. I mean, you're on a roll. You're on a roll, Steve. Kind of giving us the low on Michigan State. We will get into some more specifics about the personnel for the Spartans here coming up. But we're going to call this halftime at the moment, and then we'll come back on the other side and get into the rest of the Michigan State offense, certainly the defense as well that got carved up there at the end. Really interested in that, in the state of that secondary at this point after they got carved up by Brandon Peters in that contest. As we get to the break, though, I want to turn your attention to our friends at Brighton Ford. They want you to get on board by going online to BrightonFord.com or calling 1-800-NEW-FORD. And exciting news, Brighton Ford is Michigan's commercial truck headquarters. Small and large fleet companies choose Brighton Ford. Large and small businesses count on Brighton Ford for their customized truck fleet. And so, again, whether you're talking about municipalities, contractors, skilled tradesmen, landscapers, and construction workers, Bryden Ford has trucks for you. Bryden Ford has chassis ready to be upfitted, vans or trucks. Bryden Ford will tailor to fit your business needs. That's Bryden Ford, located at 8240 Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. That's just off of I-96. You can find them online at brightonford.com or get on board with Bryden Ford by calling 1-800-NEW-FORD. More with Steve Clark on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.